No surprise to me. The phones are almost all taken already. But we'll try and get you an open line here soon by getting the questions on as quickly as possible for Dr. James Hart. The Art of Smart Thinking will give you a brain lift next on Whatever Ails You on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Let's see how we can't retrain your brain. We'll start with Carrie, Salt Lake City, on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. James Hart. Carrie?
Hello, Ian. And hi. Dr. James.
Hi, Carrie.
I'm in a program right now for addiction. I was wondering, would we be able to self-administer this? Is this a program that would help along those lines, and how in-depth would it have to be?
Well, we do this for addictions, and we do the alpha training followed by the theta training. The technology for an installation of five chambers is $3 million, and it takes a team of technicians to operate the technology, and then you need a very highly skilled trainer or two to actually run the groups. So it's not something you could self-administer.
Okay. Are there aspects of this that somebody could do as part of a treatment program on their own?
Well, absolutely. If you, for example, study in the book the six hindrances, so that whenever a thought comes into your mind, you accost that thought and go, okay, are you one of the five hindrances? And if it is, then recognize that the origin of that thought is your ego. And so you can either set it aside or instead think something else. So you can set up an internal screening system that is likely to, over time, diminish the influence of the ego in your life.
Okay. We've got Rich, Portland, Oregon, on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. James Hart. Go ahead, Rich.
Hello.
Hello there, Rich.
How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm fine, and I'm so excited, and I want to thank everybody at the staff for allowing me this opportunity. I'm absolutely amazed at the work that you're doing, and I want to just share something real quick that I'm 50 years old, and I've studied really, really hard about my mind and my brain, and I've broken it down that I have this feeling that so many people take all these elements and they get them all confused and bunched up, when really a person just needs to break them down to a basic root element. And that is that I've established about five basic criterias, and I look at this is that your mind is like a library. Knowledge is power, and power is the ability to implement that knowledge. And when you talk about people that are having a problem with nightmares or this and that and everything, you really just need to go back to basics and implement certain tools and knowledge, because knowledge and wisdom is everything in the world.
Well, Rich, I'm trying to follow. Is there a question for Dr. Hart here? Because you are reiterating a lot of what he says. So is there something specific that?
Well, I guess I'm on the right track, so to speak, because you talk about using your mind and how can you make your mind stronger. And my thought or question, I guess, would be is that consistency. It just doesn't come overnight. It's something that individual human beings have to work at.
Okay.
Understand.
All right.
There's a question.
Right.
I got it.
Okay,
now,
Rich, hang on there. Go ahead.
Let me respond to that about having to work at it. In 7 days of the Bio-Cybernaut Alpha training, you can make changes in your brainwaves and in your consciousness, which, if you were doing Zen meditation, would take 21 to 40 years. The difference is how quickly you accumulate experience. In meditation, you accumulate experience slowly. You may go 15 minutes before, having some kind of clarification of a thought. when you're in the feedback chamber, you've got 200 times per second the system is changing your audio environment, so your brain can track and accumulate experiences much faster. So yes, you do need consistency. We train on consecutive days, long days, 7 days in a row, but the rate at which you accumulate experience in BioCybernaut is thousands of times faster than the rate you accumulated in, say, meditation.
Okay. Now, help Rich here with something that I'll give him this feedback, seemed to have a little trouble focusing on what his question was, and he was going through things, kind of a long list of things he had to say before he was going to get to something that might be a question, and the thoughts seemed a little jumbled there a little bit. Not that they were wrong or bad or anything, just didn't quite seem to have kind of a cohesive order. What does that speak to you about?
First of all, Ian, you are so kind to ask a question on Rich's behalf like that. That is really wonderful. It touches me. First of all, you heard Rich have a lot of enthusiasm.
Right.
When it came to wanting to speak about his question, he was saying things like knowledge is power, power comes from implementing knowledge. He talked about wisdom. He had such a jumble of things, wonderful things, he couldn't organize them. And so one of the things that we know is that he would have had chaotic brainwaves. In physical fitness, you go for strength, flexibility, and endurance. And in mind fitness, you go for strength, flexibility, and endurance. And so for him to go, and he talked about endurance, he knows it's important, but as he was trying to get to his point, he had all these other things coming up distracting him. And so with a trained brain, you can have the idea you want to talk about or ask about, and you can go right to it, giving examples on the side only as they're needed.
Yeah, interesting. I'm assuming it's Tamar in L.A. on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. James Hart.
Thank you. Dr. Hart, something happened to me last weekend, which never happened before. I got really, really angry at my cabinet man. And I was so angry that as I was yelling at him, I suddenly, like, my brain went into like a stutter and my hands and my body just started shaking. He was on the phone and I was like in some kind of a fit that had never happened before. And I was wondering, like, is there some kind of a storm of strange brain waves that went through my brain and just took over me in my fit of anger?
Blind with rage, numb with fear. And when anger comes in, it creates a pattern in the brain, which is a counter pattern, an inverse pattern, to clear thinking. And so you might ask, well, why was it more intense now? Maybe you were under more stress. Maybe you didn't have as much sleep. Maybe you had a lot of garlic in a meal recently, which tends to make people more hyper.
No, it wasn't good. But do I have to worry that I have some kind of disease coming in behind that?
I think what you should do is practice a period of time every day sitting quietly and just watching your breathing and being aware of your thoughts. And also note from the list of the six hindrances, when things come into your mind, are they representatives of the six hindrances?
See, and I would tell you, Tamar, that all of this talk about advanced alpha states and six hindrances and all of that goes right out the window when you're talking with home contractors.
So, absolutely.
I think that's the one exception. Nobody, not a jury in the United States would convict you for that.
So, well, I had some experience with contractors 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I was moving into a new building. The owner was designing it to my specifications. And, oh, by the way, we are looking for a new building because our lease is up. Anybody who has 6,000 square feet or more who would like to welcome us should get in touch with me.
In what area?
Well, we're in the San Francisco area right now, but if it was the right situation, I'd take this anywhere on the planet.
Okay? Interesting. Okay.
So I had the opportunity to work directly with the contractors, and so the contractors and the workers, and what I found that if I went into an alpha state, these gruff people who really didn't have really much patience with the customer would be just discovering that they were I was touching the happiness that was in them, and all of a sudden they were doing extra. They were doing things that they weren't asked to do that they knew I wanted. So if you come on to people from an alpha state, you are going to inspire that in them, and they are going to respond in a way that might even surprise them about how nice they're being.
Yeah, I like that thought. Let's get to Dean. Interesting question from Dean on the first time caller line on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. James Hart. Dean?
First, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to get through. And that contractor thing really clicked with me because I'm dealing with a renovation of my mother's house, and it's been just turmoil. But
there's an old expression that, and it, you know, poor contractors. I know a lot of them, and I'm sure they'll be mad about this. But it seems like by the end of every project, no matter how much you like or how closely you're related to your contractor, you just can't speak to each other for about 3 weeks after the project is finished.
Well, this is going to be something end up in court. But anyway, it's brought me completely down to my knees. But anyway, what my question was. Does a pain situation enable somebody to reach their alpha state and be more in tune with their body and self? I've had two dislocated shoulders and a reconstruction, and there was a time a couple of decades ago where I was at a low and I ended up in a mental hospital, and it was mainly over major depression. And I was given a book that I read that I was able to pull myself out of it just like in an overnight amount of time. And I was completely connected. You know, I was completely connected with my body and mind. And they took my blood pressure and I told them exactly what it was. And it's like I knew everything there was to know in the universe all at one time. And I left the hospital. I felt like I was cured and above the average mind. You know, I felt really connected.
Okay. And so
and
the
people
question?
Told me I was crazy. So.
Well, he asked a question early on.
Right.
Dean did. He said, does pain help you reach the alpha state?
Or does it interrupt the alpha state for that matter?
It can do both. It can do both. For example, one of the five hindrances is distractibility and worry. So if you're sitting in the chamber trying to make alpha and your butt hurts or your shoulder hurts or your neck hurts, that could distract you. On the other hand, if you have a pain and you put your attention on it in a certain kind of way, so that you allow it to totally fill your awareness, not where you're judging it, not where you're resisting it, you just experience it, that can push all the other distractions out of your mind and lead to a very high alpha state.
Okay.
It helps focus the mind. And when Dean was talking about being connected, alpha is the essence of connectedness. If somebody were teaching you Zen archery, you know, they'd say, you know, of course you have to have enough strength to pull the bow, but they would say, now don't let go of the arrow until you feel that you and the target and the arrow are one. And when you can feel that connectedness, then let the arrow go and you got a bullseye. Well, guess what? That's an alpha state. And whether an athlete shooting, you know, from a free throw with basketball or archers or marksmen or golfers putting, before their best shots, there is a big burst of alpha in which they feel connected.
Hmm. I think that would be particularly true looking at highlights of basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
There really does, especially I was quite a fan of Michael Jordan's playing days, and I just really loved to see what seemed like while at the moment, the high pressure moments where everybody else on the court was like their head was on a swivel, you know, the ball was going to get inbounded, everybody's looking around. And Michael Jordan just seemed to be looser at that time. At that exact moment, that's when he was at his loosest. And that's why he would, you know, drain some three and they would win the game. And it'd be like, how did he do that with all of that pressure on him?
Staying in alpha.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. All right, let's get to, let's see. I like this question. It's a Paige in Casper, Wyoming on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. James Hart. Paige?
Hello, Ian, and hello, Dr. Hart.
Page.
I'd also like to say that I'm Godrock on the NighthawkZone.com. But my question for Dr. Hart is, have you used or approached the topic of Christians speaking in tongues to reach the alpha state? And I'll take my answer on the radio.
Okay.
That's very interesting. That is one particular ecstatic state that I have not had the privilege of recording brainwaves while that is occurring. I do know that people will sometimes go into very rapid fire speaking in whatever their, you know, one of the languages that they know is, enormous creativity pouring out of them. But speaking in tongues, I haven't. If you know people that do that, I would be most interested in talking with them and perhaps studying them.
I think that would be interesting. And for that matter, too, speaking in tongues, how about eating tongues? How about like a beef tongue sandwich or something that like somebody loves that everybody else, you know, like I can't think of anything I'd like to eat less than a tongue sandwich. But for some people, they just like that one specialty food, that thing that they grew up, that ethnic food that their parents raised them on for special occasions. You watch like some of those things, and people seem to get into an alpha state just by eating something. And for the rest of us, it might be like horrible, like lutefisk or something like that. But for some people, it's like the greatest thing on the planet.
Well, alpha responds well to appreciation. Like when you were appreciating the creativity,
right.
You went into a high alpha state as demonstrated by the fact that you had this brilliant idea. And so if there's something that, you know, in your cultural tradition where people take a long time to prepare and it's rare and exotic,
yeah.
You're thinking about all of that and you're in a state of appreciation while you're eating it, and the taste may be less relevant than the appreciation.
Oh, that's a really interesting point. Petra is in Montreal on Coast to Coast AM. For Dr. James Hart. Petra?
Yes, hello. I'm from Montreal, Canada.
Hello.
And my question, well, I'm going to start saying I broke up with my boyfriend 2 days ago, okay? And I'm really sad. I'm crying a lot. And I happened to listen to you, and I was curious to know what happens when we cry, what happens to the brain waves, and how can I control maybe to cry less, not cry less, but I don't know what to say.
Well, I think you've said a lot. Let's let Dr. Hart respond to that, and I'm sorry it happened to you. Go ahead, Dr. Hart.
Yes, I too am sorry. Well, I'd like to, Petra, say several things, because you inspire me. We have trained a couple from Canada recently. The man came shortly after he broke up with his girlfriend. And in the alpha training, he realized, oh, maybe the forgiveness and the opening of the heart could get us back together. So he called up his ex-girlfriend, offered to pay for her training. She agreed. She came, did the training. They got back together. But he still didn't want to talk about marriage or babies. So they came for a training, brought his father along. And they went through some family stuff and got much closer. And then they came and they did a week of shared feedback where they were in the same chamber together. And at the end of that week, he is willing to discuss babies. And a couple of weeks after the training, they called to say that they were now engaged. Okay, now let's address you and your sadness.
All right, earlier, we'll have to do it coming up. We'll have to do it after this. Addressing fear and sadness next. And, of course, we'll open up the rest of the lines to get as many as you on as we can for Dr. James Hart on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, it's just been an amazing response. So let's get everybody in line and try to get everybody on between now and the top of the hour for Dr. James Hart. We've been talking about all sorts of things, about creativity, about addiction, about fear, about anger, about the art of smart thinking. And we were just talking about a woman named Petra in Montreal. She's been crying for a couple of days because she broke up with her boyfriend, and she was worried about that. And Dr. Hart, you were just about to tell her what?
Yes. Well, I'd like to teach a little bit, if I may. And this will also answer a question you asked earlier about fear. Petra, if you would take a piece of paper near the middle of the bottom, write apathy. And above that, write sadness or depression.
And you can write these in French.
Yeah, absolutely. And then anger above that, fear above that, and at the top is joy. Okay, so where you are is in sadness. Now, this emotional model or hierarchy we work with in the training, it's very powerful. If you are experiencing sadness, that means that there's a lot of anger that you're not in touch with. So instead of just crying your eyes out, begin to think about what you're angry at this guy for, leaving you or whatever it was. And once you feel that you, once you know what you're angry at him for, you can start doing forgiveness. When the anger goes away, the sadness will disappear. Now, if there's anger, if you get in touch with being angry, then you know that there's the next thing up, which is fear. What are you afraid of? You fear of being alone? Or what are you afraid of? And the way you deal with fear is you do a worst-case scenario followed by alpha flooding. Now, you know how to do a worst-case scenario. You don't want to obsess in it, but do it for, you know, a couple of minutes, and then do something that would raise your alpha, thinking about puppies or petting a kitten or, you know, just something that will be pleasant and relaxing and raise your alpha. So if you're in sadness, guaranteed there's anger that you're not in touch with.
Okay.
Once you get in touch with the anger, then you're guaranteed that there's fear that you're not willing or don't know what it is, you don't know how to face it. And when you do the worst-case scenario on the fear, followed by alpha flooding, the alpha dissolves the fear the way the morning sun dissolves the fog, and then you just live in joy.
Well, and can we make the point, though, too? I mean, this is what I would say is, well, what's wrong with being sad right now? She just had her heart broken.
You own that. You experience it. Absolutely.
Go through it. You embrace it. Go, you know, listen to some James Taylor albums and, you know, cry your little heart out, and then you'll be over it. And 48 hours later, hopefully it'll be better. And only if it were like a month later and you still couldn't get over it, maybe then could you really, I think, would you be concerned? Because it seems reasonable to be in love with somebody or to feel dedicated to somebody and then be disappointed, that it takes a little time to get from point A to point B.
And the more evolved you are spiritually, the less time it takes.
Boy, I don't know about that.
Well, let me tell you a story. One of my spiritual teachers...
Well, they'll have to hang up. They'll have to hang up. I'd like to hear that, but okay. Maybe just get this in, and we'll be back with Dr. James Hart on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so let's pick it up there. You were saying about that the more spiritually evolved you are, the less likely you are to have a long hurt after a relationship?
Yeah, or any kind of thing. One of my spiritual teachers was taking a class in the village of Hikkaduwa on the south shore of Sri Lanka. And they were in a hut. The spiritual teacher was talking. There was like 30 students there, and they heard running on the path outside, which came closer. And this guy burst into the hut all sweaty, and he blurted out to the teacher, "Your son has just been killed." And the teacher stopped, and he, every fiber of his being gathered together, and he shouted, "What a waste." And then he looked up to heaven for about 30 seconds, and then he came back, and he was completely calm, and he picked up in the middle of the sentence that was interrupted, and he went on with the class.
That doesn't work for me. I'm with you on a lot of that, but I don't know that that's a true sign of health. And I wonder, you know, I don't have to go in here, and we don't have to settle it now, but that to me doesn't speak to a true evolvement. That life can just be, you know, can be mourned for a minute and then moved on back to, and now what was I saying? But let's put that aside for the time being. Let's go to Jeremy in Pittsburgh, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM. Jeremy? Oh, I can't get to, you know, here's my problem. I can't see which line is which. Let me hit this and see if this is Jeremy. Hello? Hey, Jeremy, is that you?
Can you hear me now?
No, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I had a two-part question. First, I wanted to ask, I'm an artist, and whenever I'm in the alpha wavelength and being creative, I have trouble focusing on the task at hand and actually finishing without starting a new creative thought. Is there a way that you can focus in that state and keep on one track?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Strength, flexibility, and endurance. One of the characteristics of a creative person is the creative process has four steps. There's application where you, you know, figure out what the problem is you want to solve, the painting you want to make. Then there's incubation where you kind of brew on it. And then you have the illumination phase where you get the idea, the eureka, I found it. And the fourth phase is verification where you go back to your canvas and you actually try out the idea. And so if you are being distracted by other things coming in, guess what? That's one of the hindrances, distractibility and worry. And so what you want to do is develop a single-mindedness of focus. So once you have the inspiration, you dedicate yourself to the completion of it.
Okay. Let's get to Tim on the wildcard line in L.A. on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. James Hart. Tim?
Hey, thanks, Ian. Dr. Hart, I got a question I'd like to ask. I've been playing pianos for 35 years, and I definitely do go inside, you know, the alpha state, mm-hmm. the alpha wave. But at the same time, on the other side of the spectrum, coming this May, there's a rock concert that's coming up, the band's Rush, and they are not in concert. They are not quiet. They are not soothing. But at the same time, when I'm at the concert, I have that same feeling like I'm actually playing the piano. So my question is the alpha state in the mind of the, I guess, in the minds of the thoughts of the belief of the beholder, or is the alpha state just something that's quiet and pensive in a sense? And I'll hear the answer on the radio. Thank you.
Okay. The Romans used to say, de gustibus non est disputandum, where there's no arguing about matters of taste. And something that's raucous, unpleasant, and distracting to one person can actually be a merging experience for another person. Loudness can actually be helpful in promoting alpha as long as you don't generate a negative attitude toward what it is that's being loud. Because when sound is loud, it tends to wash analytical, logical, and verbal thinking out of the mind, leaving you in a pure state of being.
Okay. Susan is in California on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. James Hart. Susan? She was there. Susan? Nah, I'm afraid we lost Susan. Don't know why. Sorry about that. Let's see if we do any better with Terry in Minnesota on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. James Hart. Terry, are you there?
I am here.
There you go.
Say, first and foremost, I'd like to say, you know, a couple years ago when you started full-time on the weekends, I wasn't sure, but you have done an outstanding job on picking up.
Thank you. That's very Minnesota nice of you.
I'm absolutely proud to even talk to you. You're doing a hell of a job. I'm proud to talk to you.
You have a highly evolved alpha state, in my opinion, but go ahead and talk to the doctor about that.
My question is, I'm a Desert Storm vet, and I'm having a lot of problems with Desert Storm Syndrome. Out of 270,000 people over there, I know there's over three quarters that are getting help. However, I believe that the guys that are coming home without arms and legs right now are the ones that need to be taken care of, and I'm not going to take the position of any of them. So I'm trying to deal with it myself. And I know the mind can do amazing things. How do I start and get into my area where I can take care of my internal problems and the things I'm going through on my own without getting help? How can I enter that alpha state without somebody else helping me, you know, do that?
I got to jump in. I want to make sure I understand your point. You want to do it without, say, help from the VA? You want to help with the sense of your sense of anger or a sense of
everything. I mean, there's so many problems I couldn't even go into it on this. We could do a 3-hour show on it alone.
I bet you could. But I just want to make sure I understand. So you want to do without the help of the VA. You don't want to be part of a support group. You don't want to be with these other guys. You want to do this alone.
There's so many people coming back that need their help and on so many levels that I'm not going to jump in and burden that. You know, I want to do this on my own, but it's getting so out of control that I got to find a way to do it.
Well, I would caution you on that. I would caution you on that. But because I know a lot of vets, and the only time they really had their breakthrough was when they sat down and they did it with their brothers. And they could sit there and they could look at each other and be in the room with people who shared their pain. And it was the only way they began to come to grips with really the depth of what they were experiencing, was to see it echoed in other people around them. But Dr. Hart, you have a thought on this?
I do. I've worked with soldiers, returning soldiers, with post-traumatic stress disorder and other related issues, going back to people returning from Vietnam. And I know that the Alpha training is an extremely powerful way to do that. In my book, there's a description of a Marine colonel who was at a forward fire base up near the DMZ when the Tet Offensive came, and how he carried a burden of grief for having machine gunned thousands of people that night, saving their little base, and how he was able to get rid of that trauma in the course of his Alpha training. I totally support what Ian said about that you should take advantage of any services that are available. You performed a service to the country, and you are entitled to help as a consequence. And so please use that. And in addition, you might try getting my book at the artofsmartthinkingbook.com, because there's a free e-course that will coach you in how to use the teachings in the chapters to produce as much benefit in your life as possible. But don't rely just on that. If you come for training, we can help you directly. If you get the book and do that, that will help. And also use whatever support services are available to you.
Yeah, I think especially anger. It's a really, I know you've spoken a lot about that, but I've known a lot of homeless vets who really just, they could not get over their anger until they finally sort of leaned into what they were resisting. And the truth of their recovery came when they just decided that this is the one thing they've been resisting. Well, I'll try this. Mm-hmm. And son of a gun, it ended up being the thing that was most threatening to them, because they cried a lot. Mm-hmm. And they were faced with their, you know, these deep emotions they were having being around other vets.
Yep.
Who were chopped up both mentally and physically. But it was only through that, you know, that giant pouring out of all that built up fear and loneliness and all that stuff, that they were finally able to move on.
Well, Ian, so, you're talking exactly about this hierarchy, because there's the anger, and the anger is being held in place by the fear. What's the fear of? Well, it's experiencing all the traumas, the emotions, whatever. Right. So you experience the anger, but then look for the fear.
Okay. Let's Lisa get her a chance here in Chicago on Coast to Coast AM. Lisa?
I hate to follow up my question with the previous caller. My problems are minuscule compared to his, the way I see it. But I had bad panic attacks for about a year, and I was able to control that with using positive mental feedback and combined it with prayer. And then I developed irritable bowel. And I have not been able to affect any kind of change in that same way through using those same methods. And I had heard of biofeedback, and I was wondering from what he was saying, a lot of this sounds to me like a biofeedback type thing, like they have in my area. I'm wondering if any of that type of thing would be something that could help me.
Well, in fact, brainwave feedback is perhaps like the premier type of biofeedback. It's biofeedback on brainwaves.
Okay. Hang on a second here. I'm sorry about that. I just lost you on a feed, so go ahead.
Is Lisa still there, you're saying?
We just had a problem with the ISDN, but we're good. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just grabbed Louise Hay's book, Heal Your Body, and I looked up bowel problems, and the psychological cause of that is fear of letting go of the old, that which is old and no longer needed. And the affirmation would be, I freely and easily release the old and joyously welcome the new. And, of course, letting go of fear is one of the things that we teach people in their BioCybernaut Alpha training.
Okay, very good. And so her local option on that, just going in for trying it out by going to a local biofeedback place, would that be helpful?
Well, in fact, call some biofeedback places, find out ones that would specialize. You know, it's probably a stress problem, and see what she has available.
Okay. Along these lines here, we were talking about PTSD earlier. Marianne, that's what you're also suffering from in Houston?
Yes. My post-traumatic stress was from a head injury. I got in the way of a drunk driver in 1993. And afterwards, I was spiritually vacuous, where I had a rich spiritual life beforehand and derived a lot of meaning and purpose from it. And after the head injury, it just was not there. And I still, even now, struggle to get that back. And I've wondered at the connection between the feeling spiritually vacuous and post-traumatic stress. And that maybe this might help, you know, veterans as well, if there is this connection between the two.
Oftentimes when I've worked with veterans who had post-traumatic stress, as soon as their alpha would increase, they would start having profound spiritual experiences, and some have even gone off to join spiritual communities afterwards. In post-traumatic stress, you do not have much alpha activity, and so your access to your own spiritual realities are limited, and so you could feel empty, particularly if that had been a part of your life before.
Bo in Florida has been waiting longest, first-time caller line on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. James Hart. Bo?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Howdy.
Good. Running out of time, so let's just make sure that we get to your question right away.
All right. Quick, and I'm an artist, too, and I've worked on my perception and harnessing my alpha abilities. Now that I know how to graph them and what to call them, it even helps better to understand what I'm dealing with. But my question is, the grid, you talk about how the brain is basically an antenna. That's how I look at it. And example, I'm around my girlfriend and you say a word, or even ESP, psychological warfare, all that is a basic component of electromagnetic airwaves traveling. You can tinker with the mind. And that this is what this is all about. As you can see, my alpha is on high right now. I'm also painting, drinking a lot of coffee. And I know, like, for my study...
Okay, stop right there. So let me just ask the question. Is he sound like a guy who's... That's a total alpha state he's in right there, doctor?
No, and the cat is drinking a lot of coffee is going to suppress alpha and make beta and make him kind of hyper and agitated and talk fast, things like that.
Yeah, that didn't sound very alpha. I mean, maybe it is, but it's different than my alpha. Well, that's all we have time for. But thank you, everybody. Wish we could have gotten some interesting questions about bipolarity and depression and other things. Link up to the website at coasttocoastam.com. You can find Dr. James Hart there, and you can find out a lot more information there and in the book, too, which we've been referring to all night long, The Art of Smart Thinking. Give yourself a brain lift. So much enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you, Ian. Me too.
And look forward to taking this out into the world this week and seeing what's different about the way in which the week looks back to me, too. In the meantime, Deus te amat, and I do, too.